From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 6 and verse 67. Will ye also go away? Many have forsaken Christ and have walked no more with him. But what reason have you to make a change? Has there been any reason for it in the past? Has not Jesus proved himself all-sufficient? He appeals to you this morning. Have I been a wilderness unto you? When your soul has simply trusted Jesus, have you ever been confounded? Have you not up till now found your Lord to be a compassionate and generous friend to you? And has not simple faith in him given you all the peace your spirit could desire? Can you so much as dream of a better friend than he has been to you? Then change not the old and tried for new and false. As for the present, can that compel you to leave Christ? When we are hard beset with this world, or with the severer trials within the church, we find it a most blessed thing to pillow our head upon the bosom of our Savior. This is the joy we have today, that we are saved in Him. And if this joy be satisfying, wherefore should we think of changing? Who barters gold for dross? We will not forswear the sun till we find a better light, nor leave our Lord until a brighter lover shall appear. And since this can never be, we will hold Him with a grasp immortal, and bind His name as a seal upon our arm. As for the future, can you suggest anything which can arise that shall render it necessary for you to mutiny, or desert the old flag to serve under another captain? We think not. If life be long, He changes not. If we are poor, what better than to have Christ who can make us rich? When we are sick, what more do we want than Jesus to make our bed in our sickness? When we die, is it not written that neither death, nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? We say with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go?
Refreshing thirsty land.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message dealing with the Second Commandment, part of this series of studies in the Law of God. When God said, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image," He was setting a guard on the way He is to be worshipped. The veneration of any material representation of God is an inferior form of worship, on the same level as idolatry. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "We behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In other words, Christ is the image of God, and we are to worship the Father through the Son without any visual helps. This is true spiritual worship, the only kind God will accept. Now to conclude this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
We don't need images of God or of spiritual middleman, angels or so-called saints. Why? Because God has given us the perfect image of Himself. God has revealed Himself in Christ. Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Hebrews 1 tells us He is the brightness of the Father's glory. He is the express image of His person. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, "The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We don't need any images. Why? Because God has given us the perfect revelation of Himself in Jesus Christ. Now, where do we see the face of Jesus Christ? How do we see the face of Jesus Christ? It's not by mental conjuring. Any mental pictures and conjuring that you do of Jesus Christ are but images and idols of your own making. How and where do we see the face of Jesus Christ? And the answer is in the Word of God. All Scripture clearly reveals Christ. John 5:39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for these are they that speak of or testify of Me." I was thinking of the opening part of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Now John got this mighty vision, and he gave it to the people of God. And what was the blessing? On those that can picture it. Have you ever seen those grotesque pictures that people paint of the various beasts of Revelation? I often think, you know, that they make nonsense of the book. Not that they're worshiping them, but you see, the blessing is not in being able to paint these things. Blessed is he that readeth. Why? Because it's in reading the Bible that you'll see Jesus. It's in hearing the words of this prophecy that you'll get the light of this revelation. True worship is spiritually centered on Christ. The approach to God is always on the merit of Christ. It's through the power of Christ, and it's according to His Word. I was thinking, just before I came to the pulpit tonight, the only images we need in churches are not crosses and pictures and holy scenes. What are they? They are Christians whose lives are being conformed to Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, "We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Savior are being constantly transformed into the same glory," or into the same image, "from glory to glory, the sanctifying power of God reproducing the graces of Jesus Christ and His people." Those are the images we need in churches. Those are the images that America needs to see. Not some little T-shaped cross, a remnant of ancient Babylonish worship, draped with a white shroud or whatever it is on Easter morning. It's the image of a Christ-like life that will make the difference. These, then, are the principles behind the prohibition. I said earlier, behind the prohibition, we have the instruction of true worship. So here's the spiritual precept behind the prohibition. The second commandment not only tells you how not to worship God, but it tells you how to worship God. If you take the words of this commandment, you'll see that, obviously, these are the things that have a place in worship. The Word, for we have got the written commandment, the Word. And prayer, bowing down, is a reference to bowing down to pray. The Word and prayer. And adoration, bowing down to pray with adoration. And love, as he mentions later in the commandment, thousands of them that love me. And submission, that's in the bowing down. And then he uses the word serve. Here then are some of the elements of true worship: the word and prayer and adoration and love and submission and service. Those are the positive ingredients of worship. I really should have a night to this all by itself. The Lord must be the sole object of religious worship. No image, no saint, no Mary, no mediatrix, none but the Lord Jehovah. His word must be our sole guide in worship. This is what our Presbyterian forefathers laid down as the regulative principle of worship. What is allowable in worship? The Lutherans and the Anglicans have adopted the view that if something is not particularly prohibited in Scripture, it's allowable in worship. The Calvinists took the much more scriptural line that God has set forth the ingredients of worship, and either by direct command or direct implication of those commands, he has told us the elements of worship. We must have the Bible as our sole guide in worship. Humility, bowing down, spirituality, and sincerity must mark our worship. The fear of God: I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. The fear of God should guard our worship. Prayer and adoration and submission must be vital parts of our worship. Worshipping God as He has revealed Himself in Scripture ultimately means that we must worship Him through Christ alone, the Mediator. And that kind of worship must be a matter of the heart and of the will. It's not just going through forms and ceremonies. Notice in verses 5 and 6 he uses the word serve, the word love, word keep my commandments. True worship is the matter of the heart and of the will. Finally, let me close by saying that the text speaks of the special promise God gives to those who observe this commandment, showing mercy to thousands. Actually, I tend to agree with those who translate that somewhat differently. They point out God's vengeance is to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to a thousand generations of them that love me. Here is a covenant promise. As long as God's worship is kept pure, He will show His particular favor to a thousand generations, which really means forever. Now think of that. Now you understand why the worship of the Christian church is such a point of the devil's attack. Nothing can overthrow a people sincerely consecrated to the scriptural worship of the Lord. Queen Victoria is said to have made the great statement regarding the secret of the greatness of her kingdom and its empire: this is the secret of England's greatness. She was right. Righteousness exalteth a nation. this nation of which you are a part is a living proof of that. As long as the worship of God is held pure, there's nothing can overthrow the nation. Here is the best protection for us and for our children. Here is the best prospect for us and for our children. Let this be very vitally grasped by God's people. Over the years in this church, I couldn't tell you the number of people who have come inquiring about the church. But the number one thing in their mind is, what's your youth program? Or do you have a singles group? It's a question I'm asked quite frequently. And far from wanting to undervalue activity among youth and other people, it seems to me to be just plain folly and almost idolatry to say that, and haven't you heard parents say this? What we're going to be depending on to save our young people from the world is that they can play basketball in the church gymnasium. I have nothing against them playing basketball. I want to tell you, I was brought up in a church where we hardly had a church sanctuary, never mind a gymnasium. When we went to young people's meeting, we had no room for activities. We went for a Bible study. We went for prayer. I want to tell you, my friend, that those are much better protections for you and for your children and the best sports program the biggest church in America can put on. The second commandment. It will either seal us for the blessing of God or for the curse of God. Yet even with the best of intentions, we can't fulfill it as we should. That's why we depend on the mediation of Christ. But thank God, He makes not only believers, but their sincere and scriptural approach to God acceptable in His sight. May God keep us faithful to His Word. May God get you tonight to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Seek God nowhere but in Christ. Submit to God nowhere but in Christ. For any other submission will be idolatry. And once you've come to Christ, then ask God to produce in you that true image of His Son, even the beauty of Christian holiness.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.